I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, t-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's merchmonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Welcome to episode 42 of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. My name is Michael McCarthy, and we have a great show for you this week as we look back on a winless weekend for the Tipperary teams in the National League and have a look forward to this weekend's action. Our resident Turlough Stars-man, Sean Smith, does this week's local paper review with Eamon Wynn as they look back on the GAA action in the Nationalist. While Laura interviews Laura, as Marissa Kennedy speaks with John McIntyre about the weekend senior hurling and how they can get Brian Hogan back in the number one shirt for Tipperary. But first, I speak with Mile Rovers' James Williams about Tipperary football. Okay, I'm delighted to be joined on the Premier View this week by Tipperary Football Board Secretary James Williams. Thanks for joining us, James.
No, you're very welcome.
So, James, Limerick last weekend, I spoke to Anthony last weekend, last time, and we said that they were a bogey team, and that proved to be correct again. You were at the game. How did it look while you were there?
Yeah, no, like I said, unfortunately, like it did, even going back to last year, we were blessed to get over Limerick in the Championship last year. That's just one of the key turning points for our season last year, was getting over Limerick. Last week started very well. Look, got a good couple of scores, went 5-2 up, looked like we're doing well. And I suppose Limerick got a bit of a purple patch just before half-time and just after half-time and scored 1-2 without reply. And we were kind of reeling after that. And we slowly got back into the game, made a few changes. But once we started playing catch up, we never really closed the gap, and that was kind of it, yeah.
Yeah, so we were missing probably a good few players. Mikey Quinlivan was injured, and the news came out, I suppose, in the days leading up to it that Robbie Kiley is out with a hamstring tear, probably for the season. They're big losses to that team when they're missing.
Yeah, they are. We look. We only started last Saturday. We started with 7 of last year's Munster final winning team, which means it was a huge change. Look, and it's great. Look, this is the league. It's the time to give fellas opportunities. But we only started with one of the backs or two of the backs that's played last year in the championship. Jimmy Feen was there and Colm Stockton was there. The other four were new. The whole half back line wasn't there for the championship last year. You know, so and up front we're trying a few new things as well. You know, so it's the league having blood some players, but yeah, a huge change in that. You know, so when you're only starting with only 7 of last year's championship team, you look, your expectations have to be limited, and there was always a chance that, like, you know, that Limerick could catch you, because Limerick definitely went full strength and went after it, like, you know.
Yeah, as you said, there was only 7 of the team that started. Who of the new guys were impressed you during the game?
Fitzgerald, the cornerback, yeah, it did quite well. A lot of players simply got tired, you know. It looked like the half back line got tired and stuff as well. Paddy Fina, centre back, is playing very, very well, you know, and has shown well in early season as well this year, and is doing great, you know. Some of the other new guys that came in,
Sean O'Connor was there. He got it.
Sean scored 4 points very well in the corner. You know, Sean's young, you know, caught 2 great marks in important times in the first half, kicked a great point from playing the second half. Now he got black carded into the game, but it was an indication of his commitment to the game and stuff as well. Did very well and impressed. Half forward line worked very, very hard. You know, Jason Lennon was in there, wing forward, played very, very well, worked very, very hard too, covered a lot of ground. But they, you know, and then some of the usual players, Conal Kennedy's playing excellent in midfield. Second half, he caught some serious footballs. You know, he's turned into a fantastic midfielder as well. You know, so look, there was very, very positive signs. Some of the new faces really did well, you know, and this huge opportunity. Now, it'll be fantastic to see some of maybe the more experienced players coming back, maybe for Wicklow on Saturday. But yeah, you know, there's definitely opportunities for young lads there to come in and make a mark for themselves, you know.
Yeah, so Jack Kennedy came off the bench there at the weekend. He got a couple of points. Jack will probably be instrumental to this team when championship comes around, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, look, there's a few lads out injured. Hopefully, you'd be hoping some of them back this year. Bill Maher will hopefully be back. You know, Kevin Fahey's out injured for a couple of weeks now. Michael Quinlan will hopefully be back. Jack will be back. You know, there's definitely a few some experienced footballers to come back, you know, into that squad, and will make a huge difference when they come back into it, you know.
Yeah, so looking forward to this weekend, we have Wicklow in the stadium on Saturday. They went down to Offaly last weekend. They have a young manager. They're trying to build a team, but this is one we really need to win, isn't it?
Well, yeah, look, it's a must-win game. The next 2 games, you have to win. If you're looking to get promotion and out of the Division 3, you have to get the top 2 semi-finals and get into that final. The top 2 teams go up. So the next 2 games are must-win games. With Offaly playing Limerick then as well, you would know how way you want that one to go, but we'll definitely be going to Tullamore looking for a result the following week as well. Wicklow, look, we have nothing to fear with Wicklow. We definitely have the armory to beat them. We just have to make sure we get a performance, you know, as the team that's selected. Back in Thurles as well, we do have good league form over the last couple of years in Thurles as well, you know, so hopefully we get 2 points out of that one and just move on.
Yeah, and do you think that David will try to start more of the regular starters this week, or will he give guys... give some of those younger guys a chance again?
Well, there certainly will be more of those guys available to him. Whether he'll use them or not, that's to see. Like, you know, because when they're coming back out of injuries too, you know, we played a challenge against Clare a week or two ago, and some of these niggles were picked up, you know, they have to be fully right. And David won't take any risks, you know, with some of these players. So they'll only be 100% right. Like Jack Kennedy is available again this weekend for selection, but I couldn't be sure that Jack won't just make a cameo in the second half again until they're fully match fit, because you can't chance getting injuries, you know. So yeah, look, I'd like to think that he's maybe going to blood some of these young fellas in the league. It's what it's for. I know if this was February, you kind of go, yeah, it's only the league. People are getting excited already because it's May and, oh God, yeah, it's May and championship results. The results aren't going the way, but it's still only the league. You still have to blood your players. And yeah, keep it in mind, these fellas are only back playing a month. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So fitness levels have to be right. Sharpness, no, getting fellas coming in, new lads coming in, playing the system that David wants to play and stuff as well. So look, you know, a number of lads put their hand up last week to get opportunities to be looked at a second time, definitely for sure. But possibly now with a must-win situation, maybe David might bring back in some of the stalwarts he's used to playing with, you know.
Yeah, so similar to the hurlers, David is kind of playing, I suppose, what we would have considered last year to be the backup keeper, Michael O'Reilly, last week. And he kicked a 45, similar to Evan. Yeah. How did he go, in your opinion?
Yeah, look, he did absolutely fine. He couldn't fault for the goals. You know, he came up, kicked a 45 kick out. Maybe I don't have the stats. Maybe the winning of our own kick outs, I don't think the stats were very, very high. You know, and I don't know if that's the strategy, or I don't know if that's, you know, just the way it played on the day. Conditions were poor. Don't forget that. Like, you know, underfoot conditions weren't great. Handling wasn't great. And I would say, there was at max three, maybe four marks, midfield marks called in the whole game from kickouts. And Conor Kennedy was definitely two, if not three of those. You know what I mean? So it wasn't a day for winning kickouts. It was dirty breaking ball. And that's what it was about, you know. So, but yeah, like Michael has a serious kickout on him. Distance is there. You know, maybe not as many short ones as Evans would usually kick out. But look, you couldn't fault him. And like I said, coming up and kicking the 45, it just seems to be something that an awful lot of counties have in their armory now.
Yeah.
A 45 yards, call up the goalie, and it's working, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And Brian Fox was playing again and lasted the 70-odd minutes. Fox is a tremendous footballer, isn't he?
Yeah, well, what he brings to it is his leadership, isn't it, really? Like, you know what I mean? You always, when it comes to crunch situations, and even driving in, you know, the last 10 minutes to try and get level with Limerick, he got on an awful lot of ball again and was driving forward again. You know what I mean? It's just, he has a fantastic engine on him. You know what I mean? And the team needs leaders. And when you look around, when games are being caught by the scruff of the neck and being dragged through, Brian Fox is always the one the player's doing it, really, you know. And like, he's a very experienced player. And I'm sure the clock will run out on Brian some stage too. It will, you know. And it did on us all, and it does. But like, you know, but you'd be hoping, yeah, that Brian's fitness levels and injuries will hold and that he'll put in another good season. Yeah, we need him as a leader, definitely, on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. We certainly do. So that game is going ahead, I think, is it half four on Saturday?
Half four in Thurles, yeah.
Yeah, in the stadium. And it's available to watch on GAA Go. James, thanks very much for joining us on the Premier View.
No, but at all, you're very welcome anytime.
Merchmonster.ie.
Thanks there to James Williams of the Tipperary Football Board. Don't forget to like, review and comment on this podcast wherever you listen. And please give us a follow on social media, Premier View Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and at Premier View Pod on Twitter. And we will soon have some new content available when we launch our website. But next up, Sean sits down with the national sports journalist, Eamon Wynne.
Hello, and I'm joined here today by Eamon Wynne, the sports editor for the Nationalist newspaper in South Tipperary. Eamon, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks, Sean, and you?
Not too bad. Eamon, we'll go straight into it. We'll go on the headline, the back page as we're reading here in front of us. Hurlers and footballers are aiming to record their first wins this weekend now. Hurlers face Galway and footballers face Wicklow in the stadium in a double header. Do you think we need to get the W on the board after two draws and the defeat for the footballers this weekend now, Eamon?
Most definitely, Sean. Obviously, both camps will be anxious to record their first wins of the campaign, and not only to get off the mark in terms of victories, but also to score goals. The hurlers have played two matches, the footballers have played one, and neither has managed to raise a green flag yet. So obviously, that's something they need to put right.
Exactly. In an age when last two seasons were goals, games could have four, five, six goals in, and we're failing to even create major goal chances.
Sure. Yes. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. As I say, the hurlers have played two games so far. They've drawn with Limerick and Cork, and have yet to get a goal. And even more worryingly, you might say that I think the Tip defence scored more than the six starting forwards who were named last weekend against Cork. Than in that hurling game. So, look, it's something that Liam Sheedy obviously is very conscious of, and that he'll be looking to put right. I mean, after the game, he reacted to that. He said, "All the forwards I have are able to score, and generally we wouldn't have 17 wides. We don't struggle to score from play generally." He said, "It's a work in progress, but I would hope that by the time we get to the business end of things, we'll have that sorted." So again, he alluded to the 17 wides that his team shot last weekend. And you'd wonder if they'd got a fraction of those, would they have beaten Cork? And we could be talking about going for a second victory this weekend.
Yeah, at this point, one thing at touch base, like Barrett popping up for a late point for us, that meant the whole full back line scored, which you wouldn't see. you don't see it too often the same, and it's not something you would have written the paper too many times, is it?
No, it's not. Again, I think we put the emphasis on maybe getting numbers out around the middle of the field and that, which left us a bit short in attack. Mm. Now, on the plus side, you had John Bubbles of the Wire was back last weekend, and he got a great point there at one stage. He'll obviously, a fully fit Bubbles, a fully firing Bubbles, would be a great addition to the panel this week or this year. John McGrath also had a couple of points. He looked good too. And then what can you say about Jason Ford and those 10 frees that he scored, and in particular that last free, that monster effort from his own half that rescued the point for Tipperary?
It's kind of a case of Ford at the moment. Our games are kind of coming down to Ford's free-taking ability, and he's holding it up. But like, that's not what I want to see in Tipperary team, to be honest. They want free scoring, scores, goals, not from frees. That's one thing. Like, you want to depend on Ford slotting over 90-yard frees to draw a game.
That's very true. That's something that Liam Sheedy is conscious of as well, I'm sure. So, for the last couple of years, if you go back to 2019, Tipper, a free-scoring team, Seamus Callanan had that record-breaking run of goals during that year, of course. And that's something that Liam Sheedy will be looking for his players to get back to. It may require a little tweaking of the style. I'm sure that's something that will play out in the coming months, in the coming weeks and months.
And in relation to tweaking there, would you see kind of many changes coming up against Galway? Now, Galway ended Limerick's unbeaten run there, as I said there in the paper there. Do you think this Galway team be a step above what we've seen already?
I think, just to address the first point there, I think we will see changes in the team. Liam Sheedy said after the Cork game, he said that he's conscious of the fact that this is the third week on the trot. So he hinted that he will freshen up the team again. So there will be more changes. Now, you also have to remember, of course, that county panels, they haven't been back that long. They've only been training for a matter of weeks. Normally, they would have a long lead in a much longer pre-season. Yeah. So he's going to have to shuffle the pack, see what he has at his disposal, and bring players in. Obviously, he doesn't want players picking up any unnecessary injuries either at this time of the year before the serious business of the championship starts. Mm. Then you have the question of Galway, of course. I mean, they've looked a pretty serious team from what we've seen so far. And they had a big win over Westmeath in their opening game. That's something that you would fully expect anyway. But I think the game against Limerick last weekend in Salt Hill, that was a real statement from the tribesmen. I think that they won by 6 points. And I think that was Limerick's first defeat in a competitive game in 21 months.
Yeah, 2019, so, I think it was. Yeah, summer. Yeah, so it's a long time.
So that's saying something. And during the course of the game, they lost David Burke, who has been a very influential player for them. But it still didn't derail them. They got Evan Nyland, similar to Jason Ford. He was remarkable, really, from placed balls. I think he scored 14 points from frees. So whether this weekend's game will boil down to a shootout between the free takers, Evan Nyland and Jason Ford, remains to be seen. But they've a well-balanced team, Galway have. Joe Canning came on as a sub from Conor Whelan is also a very dangerous player there in attack. They've some fine players in defence as well, when you consider that they have Garrod McInerney and Adrian Toohey at their disposal.
Yeah, they do.
So I think it'll be a real struggle for Tip if they're going to win this game on Saturday evening. Or Saturday afternoon, rather.
Yeah, for sure. Like, and it's kind of one, if you can get over Galway, kind of say we're at, like, draws a Cork Limerick. Limerick wasn't too bad the first day. Maybe Cork game we could have won. But if you can get a win against Galway, it really will bring positivity around, you know, the public as well, for sure. Especially when we've seen Limerick get beaten there the weekend, you know. So it is hopeful anyway. And we're back on the home patch there in Turles, anyway. So it is. But the early game, half one again, it's kind of a strange old time, isn't it, Eamon?
It is indeed, yeah. It's
Saturday, like, you notice.
Everyone's going to have to be up and wide awake and to get their preparation ready and to get focused for the game. It is a strange time, as you say, but these are strange times we're living in, I suppose. So, exactly. yeah, we just have to, the team will just have to be finely tuned for that early start.
And yeah, just their kind of relation to the footballers there. The headline there in Nationals that kind of stood out to me was a quote from Dave Power: "You cannot fall asleep at this level." In relation to the second half, when we conceded at 1-3 there, and it was that kind of lost form in the end, losing by 4 points, you'd say. In the end, we lost by. So I think, is Power right in that kind of what he said? It was where the game was lost for the footballers.
It probably was, yeah. As he refers to, probably just that lapse of concentration that cost them. Now, it must be remembered too that they went into the game with depleted forces, if you like.
Yeah, they're missing big names. Yeah, even are correct.
Missing some players. You had the likes of Michael Quinlivan was out through injury, and their settled half back line from last year: Robbie Kiley, Kevin Fahey, Bill Maher. All those players were absent, and they had more bad news about Robbie Kiley, whose hamstring injury is going to rule him out for the year. So that's not good. You must also remember that they have other absentees as well from last year's championship team. Last year's team that, of course, blazed the trail through the Munster Championship. Liam Casey, the Care player, he's away for the year travelling. He was supposed to go last year, but COVID prevented him. So he's away this year, and Colin O'Riordan, of course, is back in Australia. Yeah. So they're missing those as well. So they're up against it already after one game. I mean, their two remaining games are against Wicklow and Offaly. And I think David Power has said that this weekend's game against Wicklow is a must-win game if they're looking at getting promotion from Division 3. So, as I say, they're up against it, but still at the same time, there's great experience, there's great ability within that team. And I think that they can get off the mark this weekend against Wicklow.
Yeah, they'll have to kind of, players will have to step in and play for them lads are missing. Their marquee names are missing there. Like, if any team is missing them lads, but then if we have ability that can step in, and you'd fancy a home game against Wicklow, it's a good game to probably get back on the train again after this pointing game there at the weekend.
It is, as you say, and again, like the hurlers, the footballers will have home advantage. A later start, of course, for them. I think the throw-in is at 4:30. You would fancy them to collect the points this weekend.
Good stuff. And just kind of an overview there. What, just in relation to one kind of thing, the talk point the weekend, just related to kind of a lot of the freeze in games, the advantage rules in hurling. Is the game kind of changed this year? I know it's been changed last number of years, but do you see yourself, Eamon, kind of from looking at it, it's not flowing like it should?
It's not. I mean, the biggest point for me has been, I don't know what you call it, a change, but the different interpretation of the advantage rule. Before, you had players who were being obviously fouled, they might break away from a situation, and it would obviously benefit their team more to play the advantage. But now the referees seem to be calling freeze a lot earlier. And I think this is slightly disrupting the flow of the game, the rhythm of the game. Obviously, you want to see clear and obvious fouls punished, especially where the team who has a player in possession is not gaining an obvious advantage. But at the same time, I still feel there is scope for more advantage to be played by referees. Again, it's early days in the league. It's early days for this, excuse me, slightly different interpretation maybe of the advantage rule. So hopefully that will play out in the next few weeks and months.
And do you think the kind of tackle is a bit gone in the game in such a way of how would you tackle? What's the correct tackle? Like, I know there's the weekend there, people are giving out, sure, I can't tackle anymore now, it's a free. Like, is the physicality, the strength a bit gone there as well, or what way do you see it?
Possibly. There's two ways of looking at it. You could say that, you know, some people, I think, at the weekend were comparing it to the game to soccer. But
we're far from soccer, yeah.
I think so, yeah. But at the same time, as I mentioned earlier, you want to see clear and obvious fouls punished as well.
Correct, yeah.
And I know some counties down the years have been of the opinion, oh, let the game flow, don't be blowing it up, this is the hurling that we love. But that doesn't always suit every team, especially if a team is on the receiving end of constant fouling and there's nothing being done about it, I mean, that has to be punished.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, and then you want to see a punish, but then you want to see if you're getting fouled running through the middle of the field and a break is on, that the advantage is played, not blown black, and hands in the air kind of looking, oh, ref, come on, it's true. You know, the breakaway is kind of gone a bit from what last 2 weekends I saw anyway. Personally, I thought there's the breakaway, like the midfield busting forward, half back line busting forward. The overlap, because you create an overlap, that seems to be gone. Ref is just blowing the free in. Like, we're slotting the freeze over. That's no problem with forward hitting them, but you'd rather be getting the overlap and getting the goal, sticking the ball in the back of the net, to be honest, I think, anyway, for sure.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I suppose, to be fair, there's probably a balance to be struck between it. And hopefully that balance will be achieved as the season progresses. But as you say, you don't want to see games either developing into shootout between two free takers and games ending up without goals. Because, I mean, goals are part of the great spectacle that is hurling.
And you make the headlines easy to write for yourselves as well. If there's a few goals scored and not to talk about freeze, you know, it is, again, there was a forward as the main talking point, which is rightly deserved it. But, you know, you'd rather, if you could talk about both scoring a hat-trick and these lads, you know.
That's true, yeah. As you say, free-taking, it's a great skill in itself, excuse me, and very important part of the game to have a good free taker, but you can't beat a good flowing game that has goals, points from play, and is a wonderful spectacle. But as I say, clear and obvious fouls do need to be called as well by referees. So in all of this, there is a big focus on referees and their performance. I suppose it's impossible for a referee to please everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just wish them well in their interpretation of the rules, I suppose.
we all get interpretations, that's the problem. We don't, no one seems to know it, so we're...
I know, yes.
We know and we don't, and sure, the refs are only doing what they're told, and just like everything. And just kind of finally, I mean, is that necessary hand this week to kind of struck you in the GAA scene, in Tipperary, or even in the wider community, nationally?
Well, just if we could focus on the Camogie and ladies football as well, I think. Yeah. That's important. We've two Camogie teams competing in the National League this year. You have the seniors in Division 1 and the intermediates in the second division. And they were both beaten by Cork, but they've a chance to make amends this weekend. The seniors, the Division 1 team, are playing Waterford in Clonmel. And the intermediates are heading to Athenry to play Galway. Now, it's been some time since Clonmel hosted a major Camogie fixture. In normal times, this would be quite a novelty for supporters to get out and have a look and to cheer on the team. Unfortunately, they can't do it on this occasion. But hopefully, once they have made the journey to Clonmel this weekend, that the Camogie team will come back at some stage in the not-too-distant future. Now, our ladies' football team, they begin their league campaign this weekend also. On Friday night, they're away to Cork in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. Yep. That's a game that's actually live on TG Car.
Oh, very good.
So that'll be a good one to tune into. And it's the first game for the new manager, Declan Carr, and the new captain, Aisling Maloney. Aisling took over from Samantha Lambert, who retired earlier this year.
And Aisling, a well-deserved captain as well for her.
She sure is. She's a fantastic player. Yeah, she's a fantastic player and a great leader. So, as well as the hurlers and footballers, we'll also be keeping a close eye on the Camogie and ladies' football teams this weekend.
Very good, because it's kind of really talking to a club mate of mine, Keane Trace, the manager and intermediate teams, they're kind of last week up in the field, and he wasn't sure what to expect to be this first weekend out. He didn't know. He kind of, you're going in with kind of a new bunch of players, new manager, kind of didn't know what to come out. And he said he wanted a performance more than the kind of result, I thought, from the way he's talking, and he can get back on the horse again this weekend for sure.
Yes, yeah. And you know, it's good that we're competing with two teams and that the intermediates are back. I think they missed out last year because of COVID. So for the development of the game and from the player participation point of view, it's important to have those two teams in action.
Yeah, and Keane Tracy mentioned that there during the week as well. He said one thing he said was that it's good to players to complain to me, and he has no problem with players going up to senior panel then if he loses players. So what? It's a stepping stone for him playing at that level. It's great we have it in Tipperary.
It is.
The club's not too fair.
It is. I think that was a point that Liam Cahill actually made when he was manager of the Tip under 20 and under 21 teams. His point was that he was preparing future Tipperary hurlers. And that's a very good and a very holistic way of looking at it, if you like, a very rounded way that these managers, they look on their teams as being part of the conveyor belt. Okay, they want to achieve success in themselves, but it's all about developing players for the future as well.
Correct, yeah. And like we have, and with the club scene in Titicoga, scene is very vibrant in Tipperary. In the past number of years, it's gone. I mean, speaking from my own point of view, but we are seen to be gone up and up every year, and other clubs around, even it's not good for games last year before now, because Turles are involved more, and the level is just, it's gone, their fitness, the skill level, like, you know, some of the Camogie players can make male teams around the country, to be honest, you know. Like, so yes. Karen Kendi and them, geez, we put her in, we could put her centre forward, we could, to be honest, I say.
Right. Yes, yeah.
So you'll be the hope for the two wins in the Camogie this weekend then, would you?
Sorry, repeat that, Sean.
Would you be hopeful for two wins in the Camogie this weekend?
You'd be hopeful, definitely, yeah. I think they beat Waterford in the All-Ireland quarter-final last year. So with home advantage, hopefully they can repeat that. I suppose the intermediates is a bit more of an unknown quantity as to how strong they will be and how strong Galway will be. And having to make the journey to Athenry as well might not be the easiest of tasks, but we wish both teams very well, of course, this weekend.
Very good, Eamon. Any kind of final more comments there on this week's, and any kind of main headlines this week in the national sport kind of section that might kind of stand out there to, so our listeners go out and get in front of them, reading it firsthand?
Sports-wise, just we have a very talented rower here in Clonmel. Darrell Lynch is his name. He's been training very hard for the last while to try and achieve Olympic qualification. He was actually a double European champion last year in the double sculls, along with Ronan Byrne from Cork. But unfortunately, he just missed out on the qualification for the 2020 Olympics. He was in action last weekend in Lucerne in Switzerland, and he was a half a second behind the third place finisher. He finished fourth. So it was very disappointing for Dara, but he's young enough that I'm sure he will enjoy many more victories on the national and international stage. And who's to say that he won't be competing in Paris in 2024?
Very good. It's a name so our listeners can keep an ear out for a new set. Paris 2024 is not too far away now.
That's true. Yes, yeah. Especially with the postponement of the Olympic Games last year. It'll come around pretty quickly, I'm sure.
Very good. Very good. Great stuff, Eamon. So, and thanks for chatting to us today. And we're sure to talk to you again in the future. Thanks, Milton Eamon.
You're very welcome, Sean.
Merchmonster.ie.
A great review of the Nationalist there by Sean and Eamon. And don't forget to buy your local papers. And we compliment the tremendous work being done by the journalists of the Stair, Gairdin and the Nationalist. Next up, Marissa speaks to former Tipperary hurler, former Offaly and Galway senior hurling manager and journalist with the Connacht Tribune, John McIntyre.
So another big weekend in the Allianz Hurling League coming up, with Tipperary welcoming Galway to Thurles on Saturday. Tipperary obviously still after their first win in the competition. That match throws in at 1:30. And joining us to preview the game is sports editor at the Connacht Tribune and former Galway manager, John McIntyre, who is, of course, also a Lara native. So you're very welcome to the show, John.
Hello, Marisa.
Thanks a million for joining us. And I suppose before we look to Tip v Galway, we have to go back and look at the Galway win over Limerick. It was quite a significant win, 26 points to 117 in Galway's favour. Aside from all the controversies about frees and rules and post-match comments, what will Shane O'Neill and his side have taken from that win?
Well, I think they'll take a lot of confidence and a lot of belief. And they've backed up the widespread opinion that's out there that Galway are the main challengers to Limerick. They're the one team that has the physical power to stand up to them, and they have some very talented players. I mean, for instance, Cathal Mannion is arguably the best hurler in the country at the moment. I know they're only playing Westmeath a couple of weeks ago, but he just flowed through that game at his ease. He was outstanding. I remember a couple of years ago when Kilkenny lost their first home game in the Championship in Nolan Park for, God, 5 or 6 decades. And they couldn't handle Cathal Mannion at all. And since he's moved out to midfield, I think he's given Galway a new dimension. And we must bear in mind, going back to last year's Ireland semi-final, Marisa, Cathal Mannion was injured before half-time in that match. The teams were level after 75 minutes. Now, I know on the balance of play, Limerick deserved to win. They got a bit goal-hungry during the game, and they were the ones to come up with the 3 match-winning points. So Galway weren't that far away. And even in the previous, the All-Ireland final of 2018, Galway did a lot of things wrong, coughed up sort of goals that were avoidable, made a late charge or only beaten a point. So they've never been too far away from Limerick. And going into last Sunday's game, they had lost 4 times in a row to them. So from their perspective, it was important to lay down a marker to stop the rot. And I felt they invested more in the match than Limerick. Notwithstanding the fact that Limerick brought on Tom Morrissey and Aaron Gillan, and obviously we're all familiar with John Kiely's post-match analysis and his accusations against Galway of faking it in terms of trying to engineer a freeze. And in fairness to John, I think after 24 hours, he realised he made a mistake and he subsequently apologised. But Galway in a good place. And as you know, Marisa, their recent record against Tip is quite impressive. They've won 3 of their last 4 championship clashes, albeit by narrow margins. They've won their last 2 league meetings, including Pierce Stadium last year, where Tip, you know, looked to be in a good position in the first half. And of course, there was that nightmare 2017 league final in the Gaelic grounds where Galway just ran riot against Tip.
You mentioned there that Galway have lost their last 4 encounters with Limerick. And given that Limerick haven't lost a game since 2019, since that semi-final against Kilkenny, How mentally significant is it for Galway to be the ones to finally put an end to that winning streak?
Yeah, I wouldn't try and diminish it whatsoever. As you know, over the years, I mean, Galway have been the great hurling enigma, you know, winning under 21 and minor titles, you know, fairly regularly. And yet since 1988, they've only collected the Liam McCarthy once. So especially to outsiders, Galway's failure to win more Ireland senior hurling titles has been baffling. And, you know, they've lost a lot of finals, since 1988. And but, you know, the breakthrough in 2017 was an important moment in Galway's hurling history. I know they didn't retain the title the following year, but they still got to the final. Now they had a shambolic sort of Leinster Championship in 2019, which possibly led to Micheál Donoghue's departure. It was kind of a freak set of events. They were beaten by Dublin up in Parnell Park, and the only result that could put them out was a draw in Wexford Park between Kilkenny and Wexford. And that's what exactly happened. So, I mean, even though Galway went out of the championship the earliest since 1963, it probably wasn't a fair reflection, though. They missed out on scoring difference. There's an element of freak about it. But they've regrouped. They have a Limerick in charge. Galway had a big win over Wexford in last year's Leinster semi-final. I thought there were nearly certainties to overcome Kilkenny in the Leinster final. There were 5 points up going into the final quarter. Looked home and hosed, and Kilkenny got goals from TJ Reid and Richie Hogan, and suddenly Galway were beaten. But what I liked about them, Marisa, was the following weekend, you know, they came out against Tipperary in the Gaelic grounds. Now, it was a match that could have gone either way, and it looked as though it could go either way until Kyle Barrett was sent off. I think that was the seminal moment of the game. And then you had Aidan Hart coming up from cornerback. But your cornerbacks and wingbacks, they're popping up everywhere. So Galway showed a bit of bottle and a bit of character that day. I know they were subsequently beaten by Limerick, but I think over the past 4 or 5 months, when nobody's been doing group training, I think Galway realised, hold on here, we're still up there. And I think they needed to confirm that last Sunday in Pearce Stadium, and they did. I thought they were quite comfortable winners on the day. And bearing in mind that Dahi Burke hasn't featured in their two league games so far, they didn't start Shane Cooney, who's more or less their regular centre-back. And David Burke went off injured at half-time. Now, he's, I believe, a hamstring strain, which will probably rule him out of the match on Saturday against Tipperary. But, you know, they have a lot of talent. They rested Aidan Hart last weekend. They didn't start Conor Cooney either. And Joe Canning only came on with in the last 15 minutes and was mad for it, as people could see who were watching the game on television. So I think mentally and physically, Gaul are in a good place. And I don't know what they were doing in the off-season, but you'd never think they hadn't trained as a group for 4 months. But then you could say the same about the Kerry football. I suppose when a team wins, everything looks good.
Yeah, I suppose that's always the way. You mentioned there that Joe Canning came off the bench and he seemed to be operating at midfield for that last quarter. Do you think that's something we might see more of going forward, or is this just an experiment for the league, do you think?
I think it's something that Galway will look at again. Obviously, Joe doesn't have the mobility that he once had. And bear in mind, Joe Canning played for the Galway Hurlers in the championship in 2008. Remember, he had a terrific match against Cork in Turles. And that was in Gerlach Nan's time. And then I was Galway manager from 2009 to 2011. And Joe was still quite young then. And, you know, he's still around. And I think when you mature as a player, when you're advancing in years, the last thing you want is to be surrounded by traffic. And if Joe has an orthodox position in the forward line, not saying there's any position orthodox anymore in the forward line because players have a license to roam, but around that midfield area, Joe has so much, he's such a bad experience that I think he'll drift into space, he'll ghost into space. And as we all know, Joe Canning being left on marks 60, 70, 80 yards out from the opposition post, I mean, he's a massive threat. So Galway have an incredible range of options. And I think they're developing a deeper panel than you'd normally associate with them. And I think because they've established momentum, Marisa, obviously nobody's going to get carried away by what they did to Westmeath, but I just thought their hurling was very crisp and very sharp. Their movement was excellent. And I think now that they've got on a bit of a run, they won't want to be beaten by Tipperary on Saturday. Although having said that, I think it's more important for Tipperary to beat Galway on Saturday than the other way around.
Yeah, just looking at the Galway team then, would you expect Joe to start this weekend? And if he does, would you have him on the frees, or would you keep Evan Ireland on the frees, given how significant frees are becoming in this competition?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think you may put that to Shane O'Neill, but young Nyland has been exceptional. I think he scored 10 or 11 frees against Westmeath, 13 the last day, from a variety of distances and angles. I think he might have missed two or three over the two games. And he's a neat hurler. Whether he has the physicality to survive come to championship, nobody knows. But he is one of these very talented Galway young lads who've come up through the underage ranks. And it's a great option for Galway to have on the frees. And it might just take some of the responsibility off Joe's shoulders as well. But Joe has been an exceptional place ball merchant for Galway down through the years. And, you know, you go back to last year's All-Ireland semi-final. I mean, to score 4 points from sideline cuts is just phenomenal. I mean, there's players out there who haven't scored a sideline cut in their lifetime, but he scored 4 in the one game. So he has all the talents, and he still is critical to what Galway do or don't achieve come the summer of this year.
As you mentioned there, it's more important probably for Tipperary to get the win this weekend than for Galway. I don't know if you saw the Cork game, but you know, a lot of things.
I was crying watching it. Those Cork short book outs. But I think the style of hurling that was played, and I would blame Cork more than Tip because Tip had to respond to what Cork were doing. But, and you know what Cork are at, they don't want to go long. They're retaining possession, they're playing through the lines, they're trying to create overlaps, trying to become more of a goal-scoring team. And, you know, they got five against Waterford, they got two against... See, the second one they got against Tip came from a long puck out in the second half. And it was forced upon them because Tipperary were making turnovers. And unfortunately, Tipperary's radar was off on the evening. I think they had 17 wides in total. And for them still to draw the match, I thought it was a fair achievement. Now, go back to previous week, I think Tip would have been disappointed they didn't close out the game against Limerick when they were leading 19 points to 14. But last Saturday, for a lot of the second half, it looked as though Cork were going to get over the line. And ultimately, you know, Kyle Barrett came up from cornerback, got a rousing pint, and Jason Ford hit a free from just outside his own 45-metre line to draw it. So Tipperary, I suppose, have mixed emotions from their both their matches in the league so far. They could have lost one, they could have won one, but they're not beaten yet. Now, they haven't won yet. And I think the Tipperary management are trying to blend in a couple of newcomers. The jury is out on how strong they will be and will they survive in the championship. They're still going to be heavily reliant on that cohort of players who were, you know, who in the Tipperary's, you know, All-Ireland title famine in 2010, I think of Brendan Maher and Patrick Maher and Noel McGrath. And Bonner is still there as well, our own clubmate in Laura. And, you know, Seamus Callan probably won't be involved this weekend. I think his back is still troubling him. And, you know, the need the likes of John McGrath now and Bubbles, who had a very injury-interrupted year last year, you know, to become leaders of that team. And I think Tipperary are going to relish this battle. But I believe that if they're beaten on Saturday, I do think it's a setback, given the championship is coming so close, you know.
Would you be concerned about their lack of goal-scoring opportunities in their past two games? Jake Morris had a half chance against Limerick, and no real sight of a goal against Cork. Is that something that the management will be looking at?
Well, naturally. I mean, but we've seen over the past 4 or 5 years, I think Galway won the All-Ireland in 2017 with barely scoring a goal. Limerick didn't score a goal in last year's semi-final, didn't score a goal in last year's All-Ireland final. So you can go the whole way without finding the net. Obviously, Tipperary would like to be, you know, more threatening in their opponent's end of the field, but they are sort of utilizing a sweeper at the moment, and that means they're understaffed near the opposition post, which makes it very difficult to score goals. Now, Jake Morris did have a good chance against Limerick, and I think on reflection, he's probably sorry he didn't dip the shoulder, take on the last man standing and carry the ball in. I think it's a fascinating game, and it's just so sad, really, that we don't have any supporters there. And I mean, we have crowds everywhere now, Marisa. We have crowds in supermarkets. We have crowds in parks. We've crowds on beaches when the Irish weather plays ball with us, but we've no people at matches, and it's supposed to be outdoors. And I do feel in general, the GAA, the IRFU, the FAI, Horse Racing Ireland, that they should be putting more pressure on the government to get fans back through the turnstiles. Touch wood, we've nearly broken COVID-19 in this country, subject to maybe the Indian variant not being immune to the vaccine or something like that. I just think we've been extremely cautious all along. And I think there's an obligation on the sporting bodies to, you know, to stand their ground a bit stronger in relation to this. Because ultimately, the longer the fans stay away from the sporting venues, the more money it's costing those organisations and the more money it's going to cost the government to subsidise the GAA and the IRFU and the FAI. So it's a bit of a two-edged kind two-edged sword here, and I think it will be mutually beneficial. I mean, they're talking about not having trials for crowds until early July, and I just cannot understand that, but I just feel the sporting organization should be doing a lot more lobbying. I'm sure they're doing it privately, but when you see what's happening across the water, thousands of fans at soccer matches and at race meetings, I just think we're behind the curve here. And unless you're agitating for something, that, you know, you've got to create the environment where something like this is going to happen sooner than later. Because at the moment, and I've been at a lot of matches over the past 12 months because of my profession, but it's so lacking in everything that you associate with big matches and big sporting events.
I think a lot
I wandered off there on a tangent, but there you go.
No worries. I think a lot of people would agree with you on that point. But going back to the Tip Cork game, if you look at the Tip defence, they were cut wide open by Robbie O'Flynn for Cork's first goal. And then after that, every time that Cork ran at them, they still looked a bit nervy and outpaced. Do you think that's just down to a lack of pre-season, you know, training, or is this something that the management will have to look at going forward?
Yeah, well, Cork were, you know, had a very deliberate game plan, and we spoke about it earlier, you know, hard running, retaining possession, creating the overlap. And they are quite good at it. And they stuck to their game plan by and large, even when they were being turned over. And as, you know, Tip had the opportunity to punish them more, but they hit too many wides in the evening. And yes, of course, it's a concern that Cork were able to create so many opportunities on the evening. But I thought Tipperary's backline scrambled well. And as you said yourself, Marisa, I mean, it's only their second game since last November, is it? So, like, you can't be expecting miracles. And I think also that, and this is the one little concern I have with Galway, is that they've hit the ground running so fast that are they going to be able to maintain that peak for 6 and 8 weeks' time? Whereas Tipperary may be more gradually getting their house in order, sorting out their best team. I mean, ultimately, nobody knows until we see how the championship evolves. I mean, Tipperary are going to be one of the main contenders for the championship. No matter what happens, they have a hard core of experience. There's some very talented players, and they present a different challenge for Galway now than Limerick did last Saturday. Limerick's game is about physique and power. Tipperary, they're more hurling artists. They're very wristy, you know, very good stick men. They make the ball work for them, whereas Limerick are kind of making the ball work for them, but a lot of that is down to their physical bulk and strength, and they're kind of powering teams out of their way, whereas Tipperary kind of more inclined to hurl teams out of their way. And like, they have some very, very talented stickmen, and Galway and Tipperary have been tremendous rivals, you know, since the late 80s. But at the moment, Galway have a bit of an Indian sign on Tipperary, and putting on my Tipperary hat, I'd like to see Tipperary breaking that cycle of defeats on Saturday. I think it would be a fabulous result for them in the context of the championship. And I think it would reinforce management's sort of confidence that they're on the right track with the group of players that they have.
Yeah, looking ahead to this weekend, I mean, against Cork, Liam Sheedy brought in the likes of Noel McGrath, John McGrath, Bubbles, Pádraig Maher. Well, that was more of a forced change with the injury to Brian O'Mara the week before. But, you know, you touched on it earlier. Do you think he'll continue with that old guard, or will we see more of the young fellas coming in this week, the likes of maybe Dylan Quirker and those type of fellas get a start?
Yeah, he has to blood a few players, regardless of how well, as you described them, the old guard are going. And I still think Tip are going to need those guys that were there in 2010. I mean, they've been magnificent servants for Tipperary hurling. They're great ambassadors for the game. I think they're all, you know, respected and popular outside the county's borders. And, you know, I think what Liam Sheedy and the rest of the management team would love if they found even two players who made the breakthrough at championship level this year, because you do need fresh legs, and you do need new blood. And it's very hard to keep coming back to the well with the same group of players year in, year out. And people get excited about a young lad making it at senior level in his debut season. And it adds to the intrigue of it all. So I think that Tipperary will still be going down the trial and error route for the rest of the league. And, you know, their game against Westmeath will be a formality. And but they'd like to put a big win on the board ahead of the championship. And Saturday in Turles presents that opportunity. And I see no reason for Tipperary not having a right go at this.
Yeah, and, you know, John Keenan from Wicklow is the man in the middle this weekend. And given the amount of talk and the amount of grumbling that's been going on about refereeing, you know, these past 2 weeks, do you think there's more pressure on them this weekend? Do you think they'll approach the game differently as perhaps they would have at the start of this competition?
Oh, it's a factor. What I just wonder is the hullabaloo about the freeze. I mean, I was reading, I think, in the Irish Independent during the week where the actual stats show that actually there's not that many more frees being awarded compared to previous years. I think the problem really is, and is that so many of them are being scored. I mean, back in my day, I remember, you know, if a player scored a free from inside his own half, we'd nearly view it as a miracle.
But you saw Jason with the Schlitter, so do you think?
Yeah, but we saw Jason Ford last Saturday night, a pressure free to draw the game, just outside the 45-meter line in his own half of the field, and he put the ball 20 yards over the bar. Joe Canning was on the 45-meter line in Pearce Stadium, dropped the ball straight over the bar. I know players are physically stronger and fitter than they ever have been, but I think the GAA are going to have to look at the weight of the ball, because they're going to have to, it's like golf courses at the moment, they're no longer bomb-proof to the long hitters. And I'd hate to see a situation in the GAA where potentially a goalkeeper is scoring points from puckouts, but that's the way it's headed. But I do think the grumbling about the amount of frees is that there are frees being scored now from teams' own half of the field that were never scored before. And I think, you know, okay, there was all, but now it's happening so regularly. And I think that's colouring the situation somewhat. But I do expect, Maurice, as the league goes on, frees that have been awarded up to now, some of them won't be blown for. And that has been the trend over the years. And I feel sorry for referees. Their caseload on match day now is staggering. I mean, never mind keeping account of the scores and all the rest and the routine stuff. I mean, you know, this new penalty thing, for instance, I mean, to make a split second decision on whether this was a goal scoring opportunity or not. And I mean, everybody then that argues with or against the referee subsequently to have the benefit of hindsight.
Yeah. Just to wrap up the conversation then, you mentioned before the Tipperary's recent record against Galway, but when you go back to 15, 16, 17, when there was only a point between them in the championship games, you know, it really felt like Galway and Tipperary always brought it to another level, and they were some of the most exciting games in those championships. Do you think that edge is gone? Is the rivalry dimmed somewhat nowadays? Is Galway-Limerick nearly a more exciting rivalry since 2018 than Galway-Tip?
I'm not sure about that, to be honest. Like, you go back to last year's quarterfinal in Limerick, Tipperary and Galway served up, I thought, a very good game. It was just difficult to judge how good it was when there was no crowd there and no atmosphere. And I remember when I was Galway manager, I think my second year in charge, we played Tip in an All-Ireland quarterfinal, and it was another tremendous game, and Tip came out with a 1-point victory. And I know Galway have the better record over the past 4 or 5 years. But those three championship games, the one that could have just as easily went Tipperary's way, and the one that Tipperary won could have gone Galway's way. It was just that Galway just have, and it's nearly against the grain for a Galway team, but they seem to be winning the tight games against Tipperary more often than they're losing them. And like, look at whatever the outcome is on Saturday, unless Tipperary suffer a heavy defeat, if they're beaten and they put up a respectable show, they'll move on, and they'll move on quickly. It's certainly not going to be the be-all and end-all of the season. I think a lot will depend on what teams both managements pick. If Galway come down fully loaded with their as many available players to have, and Tipperary do likewise, well, then the stakes are even higher. But if one of the teams or both of mix and match, well, then we have to have a question mark about the result even before the ball is thrown in. But I do think that, you know, looking from the outside in, that I think it's a game that Tip need to win.
Yeah, well, with our Tip hats on, hopefully they will do. And we'll be having a much brighter conversation next week.
Yes.
John McIntyre, sports editor at the Connacht Tribune. Thanks a million for joining us on the Premier View today.
Okay, so Marissa, you were just talking to John McIntyre there, but if we just look back to last weekend, Tip, they drew with Cork, probably, I suppose, lucky enough in the end, but overall, I think a decent performance out of Tip, would you agree?
Yeah, a decent performance. You know, it looked for a while there that we wouldn't even pull the draw, so, you know, Jason Ford, fair play to him, had the courage to stand up and take that free, a monster of a shot. A lot to work on, you know, 17 wides obviously is the thing that stands out most. Again, no real goal chances created, but, you know, Tip showed a lot more hunger, I think, than they did at times against Limerick. You know, they pushed up on the short puck outs and managed to win a few turnovers. You know, not much you can do in terms of free count these days with the way things are going, but overall positive signs but plenty to work on ahead of this weekend.
Yeah, Sean, and Marissa just mentioned there we had 17 wides. The forwards don't seem to be clicking at all. I mean, if you look at it, the full back line scored more from play than the full forward line. Is that something we should be worried about, or is it just the league?
Yeah, and it's kind of something I mentioned with Eamon earlier from Nashville. You know, that when your backs are scoring and they're being pushed up the field to get points, like, kind of what's going on in the forwards kind of situation, you have to say. But to be fair, like, the forwards may not score, but the work rate was there, and like the we got a draw at the end. Like, to be honest, we're probably a better team in the second half. Cork kind of just kept in tow with a few points here and there, but it's just a scoring thing. Like, if you go out if you go out Saturday and score, the forwards have scored 3 or 4 goals, I think it might kind of just keep that kind of tone down a bit. But you just need, like, they take her back scoring all day long, but the forwards are meant to do that work, you know. I don't know, 2 ways about it.
Yeah, so we're playing kind of a, I won't say a sweeper, but certainly Jason Ford is playing very deep, and it's more like a two-man full forward line, Marissa. Is that one of the reasons why we're not getting that those shots on goal, which I suppose we were renowned for? We were a goal-scoring team. Like, I mean, I don't think we've had one, I suppose, half chance in 2 games now. What can we do to improve that, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we're not working it through the line as much as we were maybe in 2019. We're taking a lot of pot shots from far at the field. You know, Ronan Maher, I think, took 3 or 4 before he landed one. And as, you know, Sean said, when your backs are creating more scoring chances than your forwards, it's something to work on. But, you know, John McGrath looked lively at times. Jake was probably a little bit quiet compared to what we usually expect out of him. But that's where you need the likes of maybe Dan McCormack or Bonner Maher in there to work and get the dirty ball. I think that was lacking a bit against Cork. So we need just someone up front creating those chances, and that just wasn't there last weekend.
Yeah. Of the new guys, I suppose, Sean, Barry Hogan was in the goal. Brian McGrath was full back probably for the hour or whatever way they were man-marking in the full back line. But he was impressive enough, Brian McGrath, again this week.
Yes, yeah, and he kind of went down before he finished off against Limerick. You know, he kind of slow start against Limerick. But again, he's a player of no problem seeing him start against Saturday, that's for sure. You need these lads, and he's able to hurl, and he's clever. And I think he did plenty enough to deserve another start, to be fair. But if Liam has seen enough of him, wants to kind of give other lads a go and thinks he might be an option for down the line, that's fair enough as well.
Yeah. Marissa, full back is probably a position we had spoke about previously as being one that Tip needed to fill. Brian has played two games there. Do you think Sheedy will look at him again and leave him there and kind of make him make that position his own? Has he done enough to warrant that? Or is there somebody that should come in that we should look at?
I would like to see him stay there now. You know, the league is your chance to kind of bring these lads in and have that option then for championship. I think he's, as Sean said, I think he's done enough to warrant his place in that full back line, especially for the league. Galway will be an entirely different test. You know, Kyle Mangan is flying at midfield. You've Conor Whelan up front, you know, and that's going to be the real test, more so than Limerick or Cork provided, I think. So I'd like to see him stay there for this weekend and see what happens.
Yeah, Sean, anyone else that we should be looking at now? I mean, Jason Ford has probably shown enough over the two games that he's a nailed-on starter. I mean, his free-taking is impeccable over the last 2 days. I'd like to see him probably, Dylan Quirk maybe get a start. Paddy Cadell came on there again.
Names, I missed Owen Connolly as well. There's a few lads that we mentioned around a few weeks ago on a podcast, like Cadell, Connolly, Quirk, Quigley from Killangan even, just kind of to see where they're at. Like, you know, you'd know fairly soon against the likes of Galway that these lads are up to be honest, even half an hour against a team like Galway, who had a impressive win over Limerick, will show a lot of these lads' characters as well.
Yeah, Cathal Barrett, I suppose Cathal Barrett and Barry Heffernan, they, as we said, they both scored at the weekend. For me, Barrett was probably our best player, even though I think Barry Heffernan got in the GA team of the week. But I've been very impressed with Barrett over the two games. His head really seems to be screwed on, Marissa, in those games.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with you there. But, you know, you'd also wonder, are we becoming over-reliant on him? You know, he's always the last man back, it seems, and kind of covering up when, you know, defence was shaky a bit of times against Cork. You know, Robbie O'Flynn absolutely steamrolled through the defence before Cork's first goal, and you just wonder, are we relying too much on the likes of Cathal Barrett and Barry Heffernan? Barry Heffernan pushed up a good bit during the game, and are we leaving too much open back then? You know, we're not going to get away with that against Galway, as Sean said, so it'll be interesting to see if there are any changes in the defence this weekend. Maybe it'd be good to take Cathal Barrett out for a game, see where we are at without him.
Yeah. I suppose he's a nailed-on starter, so we're not losing anything by giving him a break this weekend. The Galway forwards, Sean, will, as Marissa said, they'll cause us a lot of hassle. Concannon, Niall Burke, Conor Whelan especially is going very well. And then Evan Nyland is, he's a bit like Jason Ford. He's unerring from the freeze. And of course, they brought on Joe Canning there at the weekend in the middle of the field. And he pulled a few strings for them. So they'll be a very tough ask this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And our backs can't be pushing up as much as they did against Cork as well. I feel leaving that space, we could get tattooed at the other end if the space is there. Like we kind of complimented Brian McGrath, but if you lad running one on one with him, like in the open space, mightn't suit our kind of defending there for Brian, especially. He likes to cover either side of him. So like Sheedy will know, like the backs did push up against Cork and it worked, but got scores. Cork in that second half weren't, you were kind of feeding our scraps most of it, so it helped us, but Galway now we won't get that kind of same position with the backs on it.
Yeah, the goalkeeping position as well. I saw Shane Brophy in the Guardian was saying about Barry Hogan and Brian Hogan. Do you think there's a change this week, Marissa? I probably asked you the same question last again, but is there a change coming? Will Brian see time, or is Shane Brophy right? If Barry Hogan starts for the third time, he looks like the guy that's going to hold the number one shirt.
You're just trying to get me to show my Lara bias now, aren't you?
Well, we're just leading you down a path, Marissa. We're seeing which way you take.
Well, look, I said last week that Barry Hogan would stay in goals, and I'm going to change it this week and say I think Brian will come back in, or maybe he should come back in just to give him a game. I think for Tip, it's so important that we get a win this weekend. You know, draws are all well and good, but you can look at it two ways. We've been unbeaten so far. But if we lose next weekend, we've gone three games without a win. So I think we just need maybe a calm head back there. Brian has the experience from the last two championship seasons. You know, maybe it was a little bit of an experience. Now, I'm not saying it was entirely his fault at all, but I'm just saying there might have been a bit of an experience for Cork's two goals last weekend. So maybe we just need a calm head back then and just to try and steer the ship a little bit and try and get over this Galway test.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one at the weekend. Sean, I don't know where you're watching that Galway-Limerick game. There was certainly a bit of a niggle the whole way through, and the comments out of the Limerick manager after the game, John Kiely, didn't go down too well in Galway, but I think have since been retracted. But is that a case of Kiely backtracking from saying something that he shouldn't have? Or what's going on, do you think?
Sure, comments don't go down too well in Galway, no matter what say it, Maya, so to be honest, like, you know. I think he's dead right to say it, to be honest. No, like, there was... He's probably overtopping some, but there was play acting. Like, I mentioned earlier on, like, the game, the advantage of lads going through and they're falling over easily and free being given instead of ref blowing play on, so... But the problem is nowadays, they're PC brigade, they can't say anything. Once it goes into the media and the Twitter machine gets behind Kiely, you have to come out and say something. But we can say it all we want here, to be honest, but John Kiely can't.
Yeah, Kiely was certainly, he was a bit put out by, I suppose, refereeing in general during the game. Marissa, he commented, I suppose, on the amount of frees. Is that a case of the referees are now applying the rules, or are they being overly harsh on Limerick, do you think?
I think they're being overly harsh across the board. It's not just on Limerick. I think was it Matthew O'Hanlon got sent off at the weekend for something that shouldn't even look like a yellow card? Whether the refs have been given a new directive or not, I don't know. But, you know, John Kiely made the point that it's, you know, it's dismal to watch now. And if you allowed people back into the stadiums right now, would they even want to spend the 20 quid to watch a match like that? It was so stop-start across the weekend and all the games. So it's nothing against Limerick. It's nothing against Galway. You know, this is happening everywhere. I think there'll be a lot more pressure maybe on the referees this weekend because it's been such a topic of conversation. I know John Keenan from Wicklow is the man in the middle for tipping Galway. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles it. Personally, I know these things always play out in the league and then maybe they calm down in championship and the games let flow a little bit more. But I think it's worrying signs and hopefully it won't continue in that same way.
Yeah, and just to kind of echo what Chris is saying there, Brian McDonald there on Twitter, his good and doubt stats with GA Insights there, had a tweet there the other day. And last weekend in hurling, we saw three of the top 10 games with the highest number of shots and freeze penalties over the past 4 years. So West Waterford, Westmeath, Leash, Dublin and Galway, Limerick in the top 10 for the past 4 years have shot some frees and penalties. So like that sums up that there is something going on. Is a case of the players don't know the rules or the refs don't know the rules. You have to kind of come out there and see.
Yeah, but is it a case of like us fans, we always want the frees for our own team and we never see our the frees going against us. Like Limerick in the All-Ireland final last year got 20 frees. And they certainly weren't complaining about the amount of frees they got that day, you know. So is that the case that we always want the frees going our way, but we never want them going against us?
Well, this is the thing. Like in the Tip Cork game, I think most of what the ref was blown for was either steps or a throw ball, and you know these are the great things if you get away with them and you're not saying anything about it. But when they go against you, it's absolute uproar. You know, it's very seldom you see a ref pulling for a throw ball now. So in a way, it's refreshing to see that kind of thing. I don't mind being pulled for steps and stuff like that. I don't think that's an issue because, you know, it's clear and obvious. But it's for the little taps and stuff that's taking the physicality out of the game. They're the areas that you'd like to see them kind of letting it flow a little bit more.
Yeah, it's the taps when the game could play with advantages. Play on, like, you know, the break is on, the player is still going, there's no need to go for the free, you know, that them kind of ones that they're what annoying me at the moment, to be honest, more than any of them.
Yeah. So look, hopefully next weekend when the games are on, it's the games we'll be talking about and not the referees. Also next weekend, the ladies football
are out in the first round of the championship against Cork, or the first round of the league against Cork. That's live on TG4 on Friday evening. That's a good game for people to look at. We have a new captain, Marissa and Ashley Maloney. That's a great choice for the ladies' football to captain the county.
Yeah, very well deserved. I'm almost surprised that it hasn't happened before this. You know, she's always led, you know, led from the front for Tipperary, and it's great to see her getting her due rewards for that.
Yeah, and Anna Rose Kennedy there from Aherlow, who's a young woman. She's only 19, and she's the vice captain. She's another star in the making. Sean, the Camogies were out last weekend. They had two unsuccessful days against Cork. Put up a good fight in both games, but we're on the wrong end of it. This weekend, they have Waterford in the senior and Galway in the intermediate. Probably need to get back into winning ways, especially at senior level. Anyway.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And kind of last week, first round out, you might kind of know where you're at, but you're hoping to step up a gear again this week, because aiming against it earlier in relation to that. And he's mentioned it's actually good that the senior games on with Long Clonmel. You know, there's something for the future, that they're not on the same venue and they're going around the county. And Clonmel, you know, it's not like it's a hurling stronghold owner, but having come all again down, there could be something just, you know, to build down when fans are back down the line. It's good to see it.
Yeah, and Tipperary footballers are out this weekend again, Marissa. They have Wicklow at home. Certainly got a fright. We struggled again against Limerick, lose, going down by 2 points. But we need to win in that, especially for promotion stakes in that game against Wicklow.
Yeah, by all accounts, we were hampered by injuries. But you know, we know what this Tip team is capable of. When we have full strength on a good day out, so. You know, hopefully they'll be able to bounce back against Wicklow now this weekend.
Yeah, so those games are all going ahead this weekend. The Galway game is on at 1:30 on Saturday. So look, hopefully we'll have some wins on the board following this weekend. Marissa and Sean, thanks for joining. And to our guests, James Williams, Eamon Wynn and John McIntyre. And we'll see you all next week.
Merchmonster.ie.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.